Welcome to the Buy Box Bandits podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Buy Box Bandits podcast presented by SellerAmp. Make sure you guys go to SellerAmp.com and get a free trial if you haven't already. Check it out. Today we have Drew FBA, who did $2 million in sales, 100% online arbitrage last year. So we're excited to jam on online arbitrage at scale, what goes into that, prep centers, everything like that. Thanks for joining us, Drew.
What's going on, Drew?
Appreciate you guys having me, man.
Of course. Yeah, you spit some good game on the timeline and everything, but we'd love to take it back before all the success you've had. What got you into online arbitrage, Amazon, all that?
Well, I've watched a ton of these episodes. It's so interesting to hear your story because it's almost like exactly like mine. So I was in high school and something similar to your shoe story where you got started, some Jordans, started buying those like Jordans and things like that to supplement my income kind of because I just didn't want a job in high school and made some decent money doing that. Went to college, knew I wanted to run a business, but had no direction of where I was going. I was kind of just partying too much. Didn't really have that in the mind. And after that, I got sent home with COVID 2020 and started doing the pulls, doing the weights, the Flowbees, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, Flowbees. Miles and I always laugh about the Flowbees.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, those were the days having those. I just remember, I think you could only check out one at a time, right?
I think it was two or three. Yeah.
It might have been one though. Cause it, remember, it was 148 was the total card value. It was one at a time, I think. I think it was one at a time. Yeah.
And then I would sit in bed and just crank the checkout over and over. And I was like, that's the work day.
Yeah, it was in the morning. And someone really messed with you if they hit you up when something gets installed. If anyone listening, if you have never gotten hit up by someone that something's in stock, you're not putting yourself out there anywhere close to enough. Like, it is unbelievably hard to succeed without people in your corner that'll root for you the way.
There was several times where I was miles awake on wake up alarm.
AM 8:30. Yep, that's good times, man. Not to interrupt on that side of things, but it's beautiful on that. So you were getting going with all the Bolo-y type products.
Yeah, and then I'd never had like over $1,500 in my bank account. And then the pool season hit and I was getting up at 5:30 a.m., driving an hour, picking up pools, driving back an hour, driving another hour, picking up pools. Then the rest of the day would be selling the pools, selling them on eBay. And then I'd wake up at like 3 a.m. because Nintendo Switches would restock on GameStop and it was 12 Western time or whatever, Pacific time or whatever. So it was 3 a.m. Eastern. I was like literally sleeping zero, working nonstop on this stuff. And then I'd amassed a decent amount of money at that time, blew almost everything on Top Shots 2020. I don't know if you guys remember.
No. A little bit.
Blew like 25 grand. And then I ended up making enough back off weights and PlayStation 5 and stuff to where I could just kind of start the Amazon thing. I went about a year in Amazon, didn't really get things going, and then joined Arbitrage Ops, kind of learned a lot from there. And then it's kind of been a steady pace since then.
So while you were doing all the like the Bolo RA stuff, did you always have it in your mind that you wanted to transition to online? Or when did that sort of mental switch happen?
Not really. I didn't really have a grip of what Amazon was. See, I didn't know that like that was even a business model. But I was always just like trying to get into drop shipping and stuff like that. I didn't know that OA and FBA was even a thing. And it just kind of came up in conversations with people because I would see people doing, you know, like 2-3 million on Amazon. And I was like, okay, maybe that's what I should do. It's similar to what I do now. I mean, my only job is just finding cheap stuff anyways, or hot products anyway. So maybe I can just transition to there because the velocity is higher. It's just kind of a natural transition.
What was sort of the perception from friends and family as you were driving around like a crazy man all those days?
Well, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about this recently. My dad is very successful. So he wanted me to kind of go down the path of, you know, college, do that kind of thing. And so he just thought I was kind of crazy. I think that he just thought I was finding my way. And then one day in November of 2020, I believe, he came home like early from work and there were two FedEx trucks in the driveway delivering over 100 patio heaters. And then he got to stay home, which usually he'd be at work. And then two UPS trucks came because I told them I have a big package and then shipped them all out the same day. I'd probably made like $5,000 or $6,000. It was just a really lucky day how it all lined up. And then he was like, you know, you should probably do this full time. I would say it'll work. So
yeah,
that was the percentage.
How did you get 100 patio heaters delivered?
Man,
those are big and heavy.
They were huge. I have some horror stories about that stuff too, but I would just set up the bots, like the Eve or whatever that one is, and I would just have them check out a lot at a time. And I had a big network, like you guys were saying, the network's everything. So I had guys that would just I would send them leads and they would just send me like, buy this patio heater. And it was all about moving fast. I mean, it still is, but at that time it was really about moving quick because I was buying these patio heaters for probably like $70 and slinging them on eBay for $150, and they would sell like 100 a day. It was ridiculous. It was as many as you get, you could sell them.
Yeah. So for anyone listening, these are very large. How much do they weigh?
These specifically were probably about 38 pounds.
Yeah. So, and they're big boxes. So these are like patio heaters that would go outside a restaurant during COVID specifically. If anyone's ever been to Europe, they're actually pretty popular year round.
They're popular here now. You can't go to any restaurant without seeing them now.
Yeah. So pretty much all you guys have seen them. These were a really hot item during the pandemic. Makes sense. Restaurants need to transition to outside and to everything, and resellers help fill that demand and everything. On the point of not really knowing that Amazon was a model, it's interesting to think about because wholesale's been around forever, right? Private label's been around forever. It's a little bit maybe more complex, hard to understand than drop shipping. It's interesting, though, because online arbitrage specifically didn't really exist in the traditional sense until 2-3 years ago, because ungating was such an issue for anyone listening. That's why it's so hard to find online arbitrage content further than a few years out, because no one really could do it unless you had an Amazon account since like 2013, 2014 to have that ungating done. So consider yourself very lucky if you're getting started. So how does the current operation differ from the hustle of the pools, the patio heaters back in the day?
Oh, it's much different now. Considering those were 15-hour days, these days are usually 2 or 3 hours. So I'll wake up, you know, source as much as I can, 2 or 3 hours, do my replens, and then, you know, buy some new stuff. I try to find, you know, 10 to 15 new things a week, build that wide catalog, niche down. I talk about it a lot on the social media stuff, but yeah, you just need to build a really wide catalog and then find those winners and go deep in it. So
yeah,
it's not really that complicated now. I'll plan this year to get a VA and start outsourcing some admin tasks, but I realize I don't even have many admin tasks. So I don't even know if I'm going to end up doing that. Might just keep her on retainer just to source and do some odd jobs that I'll have her do online.
Yeah. It's nice having that outlet. Like, so for example, I wanted to post a bunch of my Instagram threads, Twitter threads onto Twitter. So I just sent my VA over, had him transcribe it basically, and then it was just waiting in a Google Doc. And then the next step would be also having him have Ghostwriter access to my Tweet Hunter account so he could go in and add the tweets too. And I haven't done that yet and everything, but it's down the line. And now, so you've been purely just sourcing on your own and with the boys basically so far?
Yeah, I usually, the boys is definitely a part of it. I'll fire off leads, which the problem with doing that, and I recommend people to get a network, obviously, that's extremely important. But what you'll run into is some people will just leech information. And so you got to be really careful about who you're around and get that. I like to get on like video calls or like calls with people before I start, you know, slinging them leads, because you need to get a general sense of if you relate to that person, if they're going to snake you or anything like that. Not that I'm just running to people snaking me all the time, but you definitely have to get a sense of things, because, you know, I'll fire off leads to a bunch of people and then I'll usually get one back that makes it worth it. So,
and you can see a lot.
As you put up content, those relationships organically form.
Yeah, so organically. Yeah, I mean, so I remember following you at least as far back as like maybe June or May. I think it was before then though, for sure. And everything, but like, I can clearly see that, you know, you care. You know, you think long term and everything. So it's just kind of a no brainer that like there's that trust built up and everything. And a lot of the people listening have a private account with 7 followers, where they've done is tweet about sports the past week, and they wonder why.
Miles goes into this field every single episode.
Yeah, so
I agree.
Yeah, it's so true, man.
At some point, he goes on this 30-second tangent about the private Instagram accounts.
And everything.
I mean, it's a good point though, really. I mean,
no, it is. Yeah.
And not only do you meet people that way, but what I've noticed is you have to put your personality out there. A lot of these people are just faces in front of a camera, just talking like if you, the more you have a personality and you put it out there, people are going to relate to you. Like, I just started an Instagram recently and I couldn't believe the engagement. My DMs are filled up with all this because people just relate to me. They're sending me voice messages saying, you know, you keep it real on this and that. So it's really interesting to see that happen. I didn't even really think that that would be the, what would happen from it, but it's neat to see that. If you just put your personality out there, make yourself a little different and just keep things real, then people are going to gravitate towards that. It's just natural.
Yeah, and I just found your page. I think it was yesterday for the first time. And imagine that over a couple of years, you know, all that compounded and everything in terms of how few people will actually do that and everything. So you're located down in Kentucky, I assume, prep centers, sales tax free, all that infrastructure set up?
Yeah, I have one in Montana. I almost do 100% to the prep center. And it's not for any specific reason other than I'm extremely lazy when it comes to that stuff. I don't even know how to make a FBA shipment. Something came up recently and I had to ask somebody. I was like, man, I'll give you money just to like teach me how to do a shipment. I haven't done one in so long. And I used to use Inventory Lab, so I didn't even know how to go through Amazon to even make one. So
yeah, Yeah, now they're changing the workflow as well. And I have always just done Inventory Lab too, but like I had to make a tutorial on it. I like had to go through the whole process again. And it like sucks through Seller Central too. Like
it's not so fun.
Much more complicated.
Yeah, I just
How was that Q4 for you?
Well, my goal was to make 100K profit in December. But what happened was around September and August, I kind of took the foot off the gas because I'm sure you guys know about this. There was a big sale that happened on East Bay in July. And I noticed that some products that normally you weren't allowed to get on sale, they allowed you to get on sale. So I spent probably 50, 60K in a day or two. And then kind of like let that fly on and just would kind of do some replens and stuff. And then October rolled around. It was one of my worst months. So I was thinking, I got to get on the gas. I got to stop, you know, sitting around, spend a good amount of money and ended up doing around 320K or so. But I didn't make 100K, that's for sure. But
and that was in December, the under 20.
Yeah, much better to aim high and get, you know, 60% of it, 80% of it. And now that East Bay sale was jumping too. I got some like really good stuff. That was when Billy and I first initially started going hard with stuff, was really in like August in terms of that type of sale and everything. So in terms of repricing, what are you doing?
I use GoAura, and I don't know if it's the best out there. I kind of got caught by the marketing of the guy that owns it. He would come to the
group
and talk.
Yeah.
So he markets it so well, which I know now they're implementing some other things, but I like GoAura. I know a lot of people talk bad on it in certain places, but I just don't, there's nothing that bad. It happens bad for me. You know, I like it. I love the user interface of it, how it's so clean. It's so easy to change things like that. I know you guys use BeCool, correct?
Yeah. So I used GoAura for a while, and I had recently just switched back to BeCool probably 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I've noticed it. So I've noticed a big jump in repricing activity and sales as well. I'm switching back, but it could be just me. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. You know, there's so many variables that go into it. So what are the typical things that you're seeing? Because you obviously have a following as well, right? So you got a lot of DMs, you know, get a lot of input from people about what they're struggling with. So what are some of those typical things, and how can we help the viewers that are dealing with those same things solve them?
Well, it's 95%. How do I find good products? That's that's the normal thing. Most questions other than that, people can figure it out. But I mean, the sourcing thing is definitely difficult. I just always tell people, everybody's asked me, what's the best product? What's the best category? What's the best brand? And I always tell everyone, do what you are comfortable with, what you already know about. So if you work out a lot and you know about supplements, source supplements. If you love shoes, source shoes. So do something that you are naturally inclined to look at, because you're going to be staring at the computer for a long time and it's not always fun. So you might as well get some kind of enjoyment out of it. So I always tell people to start there and you can branch off from there. But there's no magic category. There's no magic brand or whatever. You just have to do very, very consistent in the things that you already are inclined to, and you'll figure it out. You know,
and more importantly than that is there's winners in every category. There's winners in every brand, right? It's just a matter of obviously the market and what you can buy those things for. There's not going to be any category that just magically has more profitable stuff than others, right? That's just not really how it works. And I always like to say that's the same sort of thing with wholesale, right? You might as well get into a wholesale niche where, you know, you're having these conversations with sales reps, because those conversations are going to be more organic and more enjoyable when you're talking about something that you actually enjoy, right? There's plenty of those small to medium-sized brands in the wholesale space where I can call up a fish brand, a fishing brand, and jam on that for a while, right? And that's just kind of how that works. And the same thing applies for OA.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
completely agree as well. That's really good advice. There's a whole bunch of tweets in there too. You might have to have the VA come through and transcribe it and pull some out of there and everything. But yeah, I completely agree. And people don't recommend that a lot, but it makes a ton of sense. You know what I mean? Right. Because it's a competitive advantage because you already know, you've already gone through that process. You probably already looked for deals if you're smart in that type of exactly. item as well.
you're already familiar with the website. So for example, I was really big into fitness and that stuff. I mean, I still am these days, but not as much now on the supplement side and the, you know, the protein bars, but I was always on GNC and Vitamin Shop. And the other day I was going through a sale on GNC because I was just trying to buy some chips or something. And I noticed, wow, this sale is crazy. We just reverse sourced some of the products into Amazon and found like three profitable things on accident. So if you're more inclined to look at stuff, you're just going to naturally find more stuff. And just because you don't find stuff every day doesn't mean that you're not getting better. You know, it's kind of like a video game. You have to get better at the skill. You have to keep leveling up. And those are going to compound the more days and the more hours that you put into there.
Yeah, I was planning on tweeting this today, but I like legit. You've been around a couple of years, obviously, too. Like, I don't know a single person who was around 3 years ago that doesn't make 10 grand a month profit. A single one that showed up every day, that I've seen their face on social media. Like, not a single one. Like, no one. And everything. Like, with that long enough a time frame, like, you're going to figure out if you do it and talk to as many people as you can. And
it just compounds, right? You spend 3 months, you may find mostly singles that won't last, but out of those products that you find, you're going to find somewhere that you can then sell for 6 months, 8 months, a year, yep. Right? If you keep repeating that activity, you go and you stack these longer term products. And when you do, your business starts to compound on itself. And that's where it really gets fun. Yeah, but again, like you always say, Miles, like good products just naturally hang out close together.
They do.
Yeah. Right, like you find one that may lead you to your second and third, and then just so on and so forth.
Yeah, I like to tell people as well, people think that growth on anything is very linear to where you'll just like slowly get better and better. And that's not exactly the case. That's why I tell people, if you haven't found anything for a while, don't get all discouraged, because a lot of the time it's extremely exponential. So you just keep putting the work in and then you'll just explode. I never see anybody just do 10K a month, 20K a month, 30K a month. Usually it's like 10K a month, 15K, 10K, 20K, 15K, 50K. So it's exponential because you just put in the hours in and just stuff clicks. So that's what, keep that in mind when you're on the, you know, that path, that sometimes you're not just going to grow really quick. It just happens kind of over time, and then it'll just explode in days.
Well, what would you say is the hardest growth phase? Would you say, so if we gave you a couple options, right? If you're talking 0 to 10,000, call it 10,000 to 100 or 100 to 2,000. What would you say is the hardest growth phase?
Well, definitely the beginning. Yeah.
Like right, exactly.
Agreed. Completely. Yeah,
which is like hard to wrap your mind around, because if you give those three thresholds, you're like, oh, 0 to 10,000, you should be able to get that up pretty quickly. But when you're at 100,000, there's not, and we'll get into this with you in a couple minutes, right? The difference between 100,000 is not that different than 200,000, right? You're just spending a little bit more. You're buying a little bit more product. Yeah. Right? But the fluency is already there. It's already developed. So all you're doing is just spending a bit more money to add to that business.
Yeah. But I will say, I made a Instagram thing about this, kind of a rant about it, because I think that that is true, that 10 to 100 or 100 to 200 is not as different as maybe 0 to 10 is. But the leakage that happens at that point is so massive.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Warner and I were talking about that. And I got to get better stuff in place to deal with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, you just don't understand how much money you're losing. I didn't understand it until I would go back through my profit. And I'm like, how am I making like a 9% margin this month? And it's just the returns get pulled out. I have hundreds of shoes stacked up everywhere. If you don't pay close attention to that stuff, which, and in my opinion, that's very difficult, is to make those systems like that and even care about that stuff. Because with our business, there's so much money flying around everywhere. It's very difficult to even know. You don't even know how much money you're really making. You just know you're making money. The balance is going up, but sometimes it's not, because you're paying off a lot of cards. So if you're not really meticulous about those things, not good. It's good. The leakage will really.
Yeah. And that's why it makes so much sense to transition to transcend into wholesale around what kind of the volume all of us are at, right? Bigger transactions, easier on the credit card statements, right? Pallets, easier to keep track of stuff, not split shipments, grocery items, no returns. There's a big bull case for that around the volume all of us are at. And I assume in like, you know, a year, we'll be looking at this all differently or are kind of even agreeing more and more with that statement too.
So Drew, is there anything specifically that you do to kind of handle that leakage? Do you do a lot of shoes as well?
Not anymore.
Yeah. Another thing we need to get into. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I just went on the rant about, you know, do what you like and what you you like to look at. And I just like shoes because I started with shoes. I already knew a ton about them. So it wasn't difficult to source it, but I didn't realize it's just very difficult to make money on shoes if you're selling for a lower ROI. You have to go for higher ROI stuff because people just send you back like whatever. They don't even send you back the shoes half the time. They'll just send you back whatever their old flip-flops or something. So that part of it made it very difficult, and I got out of the shoes. And I don't ever plan on really getting back into it unless I can get like a 70-80% ROI, and then I'll go for it because the returns aren't going to kill you that much at that point.
Yeah. And a lot of the guys that do shoes at scale are the best sources I've ever met by a mile. Like the really high level guys in like Arvovs. Like, do you know Sawyer?
I do not know Sawyer very well.
Oh, okay. He's a beast. Like, he's one of the best sources I've ever met. And like, he can do it at scale. Because he's cleaning 50% ROI like it's no one's business with sales tax, like with his own in-house stuff, paying sales tax and everything. Absolute beast. With that, one last thing on the scaling part of things. Very important point you made about how it's not going to be linear, right? It should be exponential. That's not because it is because something clicks. It's that you progressively find better and better opportunities, and you progressively take significantly more advantage of said opportunities. So it's not that you work more, it's that you work better with stuff. And it's hard to conceptualize till you see it. But if you're feeling paralyzed about a 50 quantity of a checkout, like try it here and there. You know what I mean? You got nothing to lose. Life is short. And the upside is infinitely more and less work overall and everything like that too.
Yeah, definitely.
And everything. Yes, I'm a big fan of that. It completely makes sense. So in terms of not carrying as much shoes, what are you typically looking at these days more? Like supplements, beauty, that kind of thing?
Everything. If it's profitable, I'm trying to buy it. You know, I'll just find, if I find a brand or a category that I'm doing relatively well in, I'll just try to learn as much as I can about that whole niche. And then I'll just buy based on that. But yeah, it's not, I'm not like looking for anything specific. If it makes money, I'll sell it. I'm not too picky about that kind
it
of
makes
thing.
Money, I will sell it.
And that's what's nice about having your prep outsourced is that shit doesn't matter. You know, you can send them anything and they'll deal with it. You know what I mean? Like I especially doing, you know, some of my own prep these days, I'm like, do I really want to poly bag that and everything? And then in a month, once I get rid of this warehouse, you know, I'll feel, you know, way different about that kind of stuff and everything. But yeah, definitely with my VA sending me all different types of stuff now, like it'll be nice having the mainly prep center infrastructure back that way as well. So you have like a couple monitors set up there. I know you got the nice chair. So is that the lab right there?
Oh, this chair sucks. I need to get a new one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's like a $50 gaming chair.
Yeah.
I've got two, just a laptop, which I'm on now, and then a monitor.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cause like
Danny, one of our old co-hosts, I guess, he loves these like Harman chairs or whatever they are. They're
that's
like
what I thought thousand. It was. Yeah.
Herman
yeah,
Miller. No, this ain't a Herman Miller. This thing is a tenth of a Herman Miller.
And then are those some FBM packages behind you?
They might be. Yeah.
I love. Okay, cool. Yeah. You got conveniently located to show that he's really living life and everything like that. Love it.
Yeah. I try to keep my living space clean, but sometimes there's just opportunities. I'm just like, I'm not going to pass up on thousands of dollars of profit if I don't, you know, I'll keep it. It'll be dirty for a little bit. It's fine. I'll make the money.
The way like money, you know, invested grows over time. Like it's either like ship out those 20 FBM things or like, you know, work an extra 2 hours in like 10 years or so. It just makes sense to do now because it's easy. Yeah. Who knows? Like maybe stuff won't be that easy and everything like that. So were there any like big inflection points on purely the Amazon side of things Outside of like the East Bay sale, was there like I met XYZ person that got a lot better, or there was this loop back in July or August 2021 or that kind of thing?
Kind of just making the mindset shift into that it's possible to get stuff cheaper than retail, I guess, because I was never sourcing with coupons or anything like that. So when I got introduced, really, I just paid a lot of attention to Soros. I know you guys have had him on a few times.
I
made a post about this too recently. He kind of was just my mentor throughout the whole thing. And I've spoken to him less than 7 times. It's just, I pay attention to everything. I just pay attention to everything that he says. So I've just kind of made him my mentor. Like he does, whether he wants to be or not, that's just like what his role is. So I just listen.
He doesn't have a choice at this point.
Yeah. Which I highly recommend that to people. If you don't have a lot of capital to invest in stuff like that, find someone that you heavily relate to, whether it's one of us three or someone else online, and literally consume every bit of content that they put out or anything that they ever say in Discord or anything like that, and try to make yourself just all that information a part of you as well. I did that with Soros, and there was just so many things that would help me in business and the way that I looked at things. So that was, I guess, the big point was when I met him and just saw what he was capable of. And I was thinking, I could probably do that.
Miles, we have to clip that and send it to him. He would appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's out in the Philippines right now visiting his VAs, I think, right now. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, it's legitimate, like, insanity. Like, there's a lot of, like, stupid information out in the world, but it is disgusting what you can get for free these days, the way the internet's like democratized information and everything. Like, we have 100 episodes. I'm sure you got probably thousands of tweets. I got tens of thousands of tweets. Like, there's all these groups that are either free or $100 a month. Like, you can get world-class online education for 1/100th the cost of a 4-year degree and like 1/10th of the time, and with like backed with guarantees and like crazy stuff. Like, you guys need to be taking advantage of it and everything. Like,
I think in the last year I've probably watched every single minute of Mr. Beast content, like his podcasts and stuff like that. Like, I could probably name anything he said if you just brought up the thing, because I've just paid so much attention to it, because I think that guy puts out so much value. You can basically just have a mentor or a whatever just from like watching these guys over and over. It's so important, and I've always naturally kind of done that, but I didn't know how much of a difference it makes now until I look back now and see, you know, that's been a huge impact in my life and my business just paying attention to what these guys say.
Yeah. And you just so what's next for 2023? Are there any business model shifts, wholesale or private label? What's your outlook for 2023?
See, I know you do wholesale, correct? A decent amount. Yeah. I talk to a lot of bigger sellers, and some do wholesale, some don't, but it seems like a bit of a different business model than OA a lot, because you're doing the sale, you're doing like the talking on the phone, and you're making these bigger orders, and it's not necessarily you just make the order and you get the product. It takes longer to get in, all those type of things. So I don't think I'm going to move to wholesale just because of the uncertainty of maybe I'll end up completely.
Yeah, those are limiting beliefs. Yeah. Like, you're good at OA, which you can keep doing that, or you'd be successful either way.
Yeah, probably. It's just, I guess I don't really see the shift as much needed that much. Even though I see people killing it, I like OA. I like what I do every day. So just do more of the same. You know, can I just keep doing OA, I guess. And maybe I'll start private label. I'm more inclined to do that than wholesale, but really just the OA thing. It's print me money, so I'm going to keep printing the money.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is the data is the same, right? The data is not changing. Right? Yeah. Whether you're talking about wholesale or OA, the actual integrity of what you're looking at is going to remain the same. It's just how you get your hands on that product information. That's going to be different. Whether it's from a catalog or a website, that's going to be the main difference. And so what are you numbers-wise shooting for in 2023?
Probably 3-4 million. I also don't want to grow an extremely massive store, because when I talk to the bigger guys and I even just watch how stressed out they look when they talk sometimes, I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, maybe they make some extra money, but they have extra employees. They have all these different things going on. So I'm good with just 3-4 mil, maximizing the margin off that, and then ended up starting something new eventually, especially because my time's more freed up. But I just have no clue where I'm going to go with that. But I'm sure that's going to happen naturally in the next 6 to 8 months or so.
Yeah, everything I've ever done, it's always been natural like that. You know, it's been inclined. It's through a relationship or seeing an opportunity with something. It's, and it's probably been the same way with you this far, it seems. You know, you just like seeing something, you know, okay, this worked, let me do more of it. Okay, this didn't work, let me, you know, pull back on that, everything like that.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity out there, like all the time. It's crazy how fast the internet moves, how there's like the NFTs happened, you know, the chat GPT things came up, and the TikTok drop shipping thing happened. There's so many huge business opportunities that come up. And if you have the capital and just the wherewithal to like pay attention to that kind of stuff, you can move quick and make a lot of money. And now that I have the capital and the time to do it, that's kind of what I'm focused on. It's just whatever the next opportunity is, I'm not going to miss it. But when in the past I have missed it just due to a lack of time or a lack of capital. So
yeah, it's like arbitrage. You free up your time and it gives you that freedom to then look into stuff and really learn to study and everything. Because like what it really is like, you know, storefront stock and okay, looking at what other people are selling, like looking on websites. Okay, look at what the website sell and trying to memorize what that sells or have a decent idea of what it sells for, you know, on Amazon. That's kind of like rejecting a lot of society's advice in terms of like, okay, do everything yourself. Don't talk to others, ask to use the bathroom, you know, all this stuff. Plus kind of stuff when like we get canceled by a web saying like, all right, boys, let's go to war. Like, let me do what I can so you don't cancel it and everything like that right there. And then so you're scaling up a personal brand as well.
Yeah, I mean, really, you've a lot of inspirations came from you in that journey, because I remember starting in 2020 and I remember being in products for profit, whatever that group is.
Oh yeah. Shout out Joe, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You were in there as well, correct?
I wasn't, but him and I have done some stuff over the years together for sure. Like he podcasted a year ago and everything. So that's one of our guys for sure.
Yeah. I guess I just saw where I started the Instagram about a week ago. I just see your social media growth and how consistent you've been with it. And a lot of guys that like you as well. I'm like, I got to start doing this just because, yeah, the opportunity's there and it's cool to network with all the people that comes with it. So yeah, trying my best to scale up this year. That's probably a bigger focus than almost anything. Just put out more content.
It makes it so much more fun too, man. You know, cause like, it's impossible to find people IRL to talk to, but it's like pretty much impossible with everything. So like, it has to be the other, you know, young hustlers on online. There's just nothing like getting a text from Garrett. If I see the subject line, go, 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 I know I'm about to clean like $1,000. Like, that's what he always says. He'll go link and then he'll go, 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 go. And I'll see that. And I know it's go time with everything. I know, obviously I do the same way and everything like that. So, okay. For the listener that's trying to scale online arbitrage, we typically ask for a beginner, but you provide some good stuff on the timeline, specifically about growing the store side of things. So what should they be doing that maybe if they're just hustling bolos, doing retail arbitrage, how do they start to make that transition to really reach some type of scale? Is it delegating? Is it doubling down? Is it focusing on Twitter more, you know, talking to more people?
Well, it's a combination of everything you've said for sure. But I like to say that, you know, your Amazon is a storefront. That's literally what it's called. So if you don't treat it like a storefront, then I think that you will have much less success. So if you go into a gas station and they're only selling energy drinks, then that gas station is not going to make much money. But if they have beef jerky, they have energy drinks, they have candy, all this different stuff, you just have a much wider horizon of money you can make. So I'd highly recommend just people to scale out the catalog, get a lot of different stuff, and then get more stock of what's selling well, you know, the 80-20 rule or whatever, like 20% of your profit comes from 80% of your profit comes from 20%. Right, yeah. You just have to go really wide. So you have more potential to get lucky or to get in those big opportunities where you make money. So just try to find more stuff, take more risks in terms of maybe that doesn't look like a great product. Well, then just buy 3 to 5 of it. See how the sales data goes. See if it sells 3 in a week, then obviously you can sell around 12 a month. If you make $15 each, maybe it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you do that 10 times, 15 times, you're going to build this large, basically storefront of products that is similar to any kind of store you'd see if you're just walking out in the real world.
Yeah, that was very, very well put.
Yeah, and outside of if you're buying like really easily stuff type of stuff from like Walmart and everything, like the worst case scenario on pretty much anything is like you just make 10% ROI. Yeah. Oh no, you just made an insanely good ROI in any type of other investment in a month that we just happen to consider low because of the compounding potential of this done the right way and everything like that. Oh yeah. No, on all that. So I think that was a great episode, man. Where can people find you on socials?
Twitter, Drew FBA, Instagram, Drew FBA. Twitter, I feel like it's throttling engagement recently, so I'm posting way more on Instagram. So that's where you'll mainly
find gotta me. Make your account private. That's what people have been saying, man.
Yeah, man. If I have 40,000 followers, I might.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? I completely agree and everything like that. So yeah, may everyone go follow Drew, and hope you guys have a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow for another episode. Thanks a lot.